I love the moving of the Holy Spirit, and I love the preaching of God's word. And I think we need both every time we come together to worship. In the early days, when the Holy Spirit would move, sometimes we'd be tempted not to have a sermon. And what I realize is that when we do that, we exchange an experience for a word. And we need both a word and an experience. Experiences are powerful, but if there's no word for them to anchor themselves in, they don't last. But when you have a word, one word from God, you can hold on to one word from God for your entire life. I mean, one word that God speaks to you. If he just, we don't understand how powerful one word is. See, the problem is God has given us so many words that we don't understand the value of each one of them. They're just so common to us because he's been so generous with his words that we've lost sight of the value. It's as if somebody gave you $1 billion. You would lose sight of the value of $1. And you know, oh, well, I've got billions of them. I've got so many of them, and they just keep making more. I put it in the bank, and it makes interest. That's how the Word of God is, and we don't understand the value of it. If the only verse of Scripture in the Bible, if the only word that God ever spoke was Psalm 23:1, that one word from God would be enough. I mean, if you focused your entire life on living out Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you made it your aim to live out that verse, and that was your only desire, that's all you prayed for your whole life, it would be enough to make you a spiritual giant. I mean, think about it. To be able to truly say, the Lord is my shepherd. To say the Lord is my shepherd means I follow him everywhere. It means when he turns right, I turn right. When he turns left, I turn left. When he goes to the left, I go to the left. And when he goes to the right, I go to the right. And we're going to dance. Okay. And I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need anything because he satisfies my every desire. And I never go looking for satisfaction anywhere else. I mean, think if that was your life completely, totally, 100%. The Lord is my shepherd. That one word from God is enough to change everything. And so I highly value the word of the Lord. And I want to share it with you today. We're talking about shining. The first two messages of this retreat were about arising. Last night was about shining. And this morning we're going to finish up with a command to shine. It is imperative that you arise and shine because your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I'm reading from the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 14. I'm going to go from there to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. The Lord has some things to say to us this morning before we leave this place. Philippians 2, I think I'm in Philippians. Yes, I am. Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What causes you to shine as lights in the world is that you learn to do all things without grumbling or questioning. What will set you apart at your workplace is working without grumbling or questioning. You'll begin to shine like a light. Why? Because everybody else is going to be grumbling and questioning, but you're simply there to do your job. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Listen, I cannot underscore this enough. What causes us to stand out as believers is that we have learned the secret of being content in every circumstance. The moment we begin to grumble, complain, get offended the way the world grumbles, complains, and gets offended, there's nothing to distinguish us from the world any longer. People should begin to ask the question, why are you okay when nobody else is okay? Why do you not have a problem with this when everybody else has a problem with this? Why are you not troubled by this when everybody else is troubled by this? And now you are ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. That's what Peter said. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks for the hope that you have. But if they don't see hope, they're not going to ask the reason of that hope. Your greatest witness is walking in hope when everyone else is hopeless, is walking in contentment when nobody else is content, is making a decision. I'm not going to have a problem when everybody else has a problem. When everyone else is grumbling and complaining, I'm just going to be rejoicing and doing my job. And then people are going to ask you, where does this hope come from? How come you're so chipper? How come you're so happy when everybody else is upset? And now you begin to shine like lights in the universe. And it says, as you hold out the word of truth. It says, you're holding fast to the word of life so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Do you hear what the apostle's saying? He says, if you do not obey this command, if you do not learn how to do all things without grumbling or questioning, then it will be as if I ran in vain. If you become grumblers and questioners wherever you go, it will be as if I ran in vain. All of the words that I spoke to you, all of the power of the Holy Spirit that I displayed, it's all wasted on grumbling and complaining. Because in the moment you begin to grumble and complain, you have separated yourself from your inheritance once again. You've separated yourself from your reward, and you've proven that you ceased to trust the Lord to be your light and your salvation, and you started fighting for your rights once again. So he says you're able to do this by holding fast to the word of life. He says you can do all things without grumbling and complaining, which will cause you to shine like lights in the universe, by holding fast to the word of life. If you're going to do all things without grumbling and complaining, you've got to learn how to hold fast to the word of life. Now, I'm going to go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. One of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Of course, I say that about a lot of passages. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he speaks of God's divine power, which has given us everything that we need for life and godliness. You got to get it in your heart and mind that you have everything you need for life and godliness right now. God's divine power has given you everything you need. If you wake up in the morning thinking that you need something that you don't have, you don't understand God's divine power. His divine power has given you everything you need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called you by His own glory and goodness. Through these, which are His glory and goodness, He's given you His very great and precious promises so that by them you might escape the corruption that is in the world through lust and participate in the divine nature. There's so much we can say about corruption and lust. Lust causes things to decay. Whatever God puts in our lives, we can cause them to decay if we relate to them according to lust. Even a husband can relate to his wife according to lust and cause his relationship with her to decay. Okay? There's a lot we can say about that. But participating in the divine nature causes us to escape the corruption that's in the world through lust and participate in the divine nature. And then he goes on to say, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control goodness, to goodness perseverance, to perseverance brotherly kindness love. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, you'll be neither barren nor unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these qualities is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he's been cleansed. Now, skipping down to verse 16, look at this. He says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my son, my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the heavenly mountain, on the holy mountain. What is he talking about? He's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Remember, this is Peter. This is 2 Peter. Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain with him, and he was transfigured before their very eyes. And they were heavy with sleep, but when they woke up, they saw his glory, and they saw him in the midst of a conversation with Moses and Elijah. And then Peter interrupts the conversation to say, it's good for us to be here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And all of a sudden, the cloud of God the Father, the glory of God the Father filled the mountain, and the voice of the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son whom I love. This is my son whom I love. Hear him. The Father had to shut Peter down because Peter was talking foolishness and nonsense. Do you know you can talk nonsense even in the presence of the Lord? Even when the glory of the Lord comes, you can talk nonsense. Isn't that amazing? Peter's on the mountain and he's talking nonsense. And Peter doesn't tell us here, by the way, the Father said that to shut me up because I said something stupid. All right? You know? So he's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. Verse 19, and we have something more sure. Wait a minute. So Peter says, let me tell you why we're so sure about our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we were with him on the holy mountain. And we heard the Father say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. But then everybody reading says, yeah, but Peter, we weren't up there with you on the holy mountain. So how can we have the same? Of course you have that confidence. If I was up there on that mountain, I'd be an apostle too. It's easy for you to have the confidence you have because you've seen what you've seen and you've heard what you've heard. But Peter says, no, there's nothing to separate you and me. Look at this, verse 19. And we have something more sure. More sure? More sure than what? More sure than the experience that we had on the mountain. The experience on the mountain was great. But we have something more sure. The prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Peter says, you're going to go through some dark times, because the real question is, when I walk through dark times, where do I find light? When I go through difficult times, where do I find light? Peter says, you've got the prophetic word made more sure, and you would do well to give heed to it. It shines like a light in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star appears in our hearts. Peter says, imagine yourself walking through a dark valley and you can't see anything. I mean, you can't see your hand in front of your face. And in the middle of that valley, as you're crying out to God for light, the Lord reminds you that you got a prophetic word in your pocket. You go, oh yeah, I forgot I got this prophetic word. And you hold out the prophetic word and it shines like a light in the dark place and you keep walking. Why? Because in the midst of your dark moment, you gave heed to the prophetic word. One of my questions for you this morning is, how keenly do you give heed to the prophetic word? When a prophetic word comes and it's spoken over you, do you cling to it? Do you hide it away in your heart? Or do you mistake it for an experience? See, if you mistake it for an experience, then when the moment passes, the word passes. What was the word spoken over you? I don't know, but it sure was good. Man, it really hit me at that moment. But it's not just for that moment. It's a light. And when you get a prophetic word, you must understand, listen, God will give you the light before you enter into the darkness. When you get a prophetic word, you better believe you need that word. Because you have no idea what's coming around the mountain. I'll never forget, my wife and I were pulling out. It was 2007. We were pulling out of our driveway to drive to the airport to go get on a plane to go to Indonesia. And as soon as I backed out of the driveway, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to my heart and said, do not be moved by what you see. I looked at my wife. I said, the Lord just said, do not be moved by what you see. She said, okay. I said, no, that means we're going to see something. We get to the airport. 45 minutes later, my phone rings. As we're checking in, it was our broker, our real estate broker. We were buying a house. We were trying to buy our first house at the time. And we had put a $15,000 deposit down just to hold the place. I mean, it wasn't even the down payment. It was just the deposit to hold the place. And he said, the deal just fell through. I said, why? He said, you lied on your application. I said, no, we didn't. And there was this discrepancy on our application where they thought we had lied. We had not lied. It was a misunderstanding. And I said, look, I'm going back and forth with him. I'm all flustered because I'm thinking we just lost $15,000. And as I'm about to get flustered, I remember the Lord just said 45 minutes ago, do not be moved by what you see. So I said, okay, all right. Well, that's all you can do. Thanks a lot, Bob. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Hung up the phone. We went on that mission trip. Sonny and I just made a decision. We looked into each other's eyes. God said, don't be moved by what you see. We're not going to be moved by what we see. We get on that plane, we go to the mission trip, and we're just serving the Lord. We forgot all about that situation back home. We're just serving the Lord with all of our hearts. We didn't feel a moment of anxiety about it or fear about it. And then we got on the plane to come home. I checked my messages in the airport, and there was a message from Bob. He said, I don't know how this happened, but the lender changed their mind, and they pushed the loan through. You're going to get the house. oh, wow. Now, isn't it wonderful that we didn't spend 2 weeks fretting about it, right? Then, well, watch this. So I'm thinking that word was for that situation. So it's over. We buy the house. And as soon as we buy the house, 45 minutes after closing escrow and getting the key, it's as if a note came in the mail. By the way, we're now in a recession. And within 1 year, your house ain't going to be worth nothing. And we watched as our property value went down, down, down. We paid $501,000 for that home. And by within 3 months, they were selling the same unit for $432,000. And by the next year at that time, they were selling them for $375,000. And then $350,000. By the time we were foreclosed on, they were selling them. Our house short sold for $232,000. And I was fretting and I was losing my mind. And when we finally had to move out, we didn't have a place to move into. And that day I nearly had a heart attack and died in front of my wife. No, seriously, my blood pressure spiked and no amount of blood pressure medication would bring it down. And I was on the floor ice cold and they were worried about, I was practically rushing me to the hospital because I'm going to have a heart attack and die because I don't have a place to move my family into. And in the midst of it all, I'm fretting. I'm like, God, I don't understand. You worked miracles for us to get into this house. You worked miracles. How could you work a miracle to put us in this house to let us get foreclosed on? And the Lord said, remember, I told you, don't be moved by what you see. I was like, Lord, that was 5 years ago. Oh, yeah. The word of the Lord endures forever. We got to stop thinking episodically about the word of the Lord. We think the word of the Lord is for this episode. We've been watching TV so much that we think everything is an episode. When God speaks to you, it's not an episode. It's an inheritance. And the difference between an episode and an inheritance is that it's here today. An episode is here today, gone tomorrow. It's only good for this episode. But the word of God is never episodic. It might be, there are certain words that are seasonal. But when God gives you a foundational word, don't be moved by what you see, when God speaks that to you, you better believe that if you can hold on to that word for your entire life, you're going to need it and you're going to have to use it again and again and again, because you're going to walk through some dark times and when you stop and say, I will not be moved by what I see. I will not be moved by what I see. I went to a conference. I was a speaker at a conference a couple of years ago. And at that conference, there was this. I was speaking. I was the keynote speaker, but it was a prophetic conference, and there were these prophets in town from England, or Wales, or Ireland, something over there, right? But anyway, at the end, the pastor of the church, he said, "Benjamin, you need to go let that guy prophesy over you." One of the guys. And I was like, okay, cool, right? So I go over and get into his huddle. And he looks at me and he says, Benjamin, the word of the Lord for you. You know, when people prophesy with a British accent, it just sounds anointed. You know what I mean? It's, ooh, Mufasa, Mufasa, Mufasa. You know? He started prophesying about my family history. Like stuff there's no way he could have known in the natural. There's no way. You come from a long line of preachers and ministers, says the Lord. And all of their hopes and dreams have come to rest upon you. You are the protege of all that was in them has come to rest on you. And you will manifest it to the full, says the Lord. And he's like bringing all these words. And it was just so powerful. I'm just sitting there just like weeping. And then he prophesies over my family. He says, I want to prophesy over your children. I say children plural because the matter is not yet finished, says the Lord. And he says, I see music in you, sir. I had not sang a note, nothing in that whole conference. He said, I see music in you. I see lyrics and harmonies and melodies and lyrics. And I see a drummer who will beat the drums and call the nations to war. And I see a dynamic worship leader. And I see a Joshua who will be a prophet to the nations. You know, I mean, he's just prophesying this powerful word from the Lord. I'm just sitting there weeping. And then he starts talking about a move of the Holy Spirit that's going to start in the Bay Area, and it's going to come through Living Hope in Emeryville, California. And it's going to spread across the world. He's prophesying this powerful move. He says, your neck is like the Tower of David, and around it hangs the shields of 1,000 warriors. And God says, I will give you 1,000 sons, says the Lord. And you know, I mean, it was a powerful, powerful. I'm like, yeah, right? I went back to my spiritual father. I'm like, listen to this. Listen to this. I recorded the whole thing. And he was listening to it. And I was listening to it every day. And all of a sudden, I went into a season of one of the deepest attacks that I'd ever went through. And I called my spiritual father. I said, I don't understand. I get this prophetic word, and exactly the opposite happens. And he smiled and he said, why did you think you needed the prophetic word? Oh, you thought the devil was just going to let you walk right on into it, huh? The prophetic word is powerful, but you must understand that it endures forever. And that is incredibly important for you to understand, because when you get a prophetic word, you're going to walk through circumstances and situations in which it seems like the word died. Joseph, he gets these dreams that he's going to be a ruler. God speaks very clearly. You're going to be a ruler. Your brothers are going to bow down to you. Even the sun, moon, and stars, even your father and mother are going to bow down to you. You're going to rule over your brothers. And what's the next thing that happens? His brothers beat him, strip him of the garment, throw him in the pit, and sell him as a slave. That's exactly the opposite of him ruling over his brothers. He was beaten by his brothers and sold as a slave. And instead of a ruler, he becomes a slave in the house of Potiphar. It seems that the word of the Lord died, but the word of the Lord did not die. The scripture says the word of the Lord tested Joseph until it came to pass. And when you receive a word from the Lord, it tests you until it comes to pass. Matter of fact, when God speaks a word, the word itself has the power to fulfill its own content. When God said, let there be light, the very word, let there be light, went forth and created the light. God cannot lie. When you and I speak, our actions have to follow what we speak in order for us to have integrity. God only has one action. It's speaking. When he speaks, he acts. And his word hangs with you. It hangs over your life. It hovers over your life. It lives in your heart until it brings itself to pass. And so you've got to understand that no matter what it looks like, the word of the Lord endures forever. It cannot die. It shines like a light in the darkness. And what I'm saying to you this morning, if you're going to arise and shine, you will shine by virtue of the word of life that you cling to. It's not just shining because your gifts are shining in the workplace. It's shining because you're clinging to the prophetic word as you're walking through the dark place. It's the word that's shining, and you're shining because you're clinging to that word. You walk through dark places. What was it in Lord of the Rings where Frodo Baggins, what was the thing that was shining? The staff, it was glint. You've got a word from God. You can walk through wait a minute, I got a prophecy for this. Where's it at? I got it right here. I got a prophecy for this. I've got a prophecy for this. Listen, God is so faithful that he'll never let me walk through a situation that I don't have a prophecy for. Yeah. And when I'm talking about the prophetic word, I'm speaking holistically. I'm not just talking about some word that was spoken to me at an altar. You must understand that there's an intrinsic connection between the spoken prophetic word and the written prophetic word. When the prophetic word is spoken, it's an illumination and revelatory application of the written word. That's why oftentimes I prophesy scripture to people. Why? Because this scripture has just become a prophetic word. God just breathed on this word for you, and now you cling to it. It's like a light that will shine in the darkness for you. But there's more than that, because God continues to speak. And God continues to speak through his living word. And when God's words come, Pastor Christian will share with you circumstances and situations in which it looked like everything was falling apart. And I spoke a prophetic word to him. And by the end of the year, it came to pass and everything changed. How did he make it through that year? He clung to that prophetic word. It's happened to me again and again and again. I'll never forget when we were in 2008, Living Hope Christian Center went through such a financial difficult time that it looked like we were going under. Every month, we were $7,000 to $10,000 in the hole. The last night of the month, we'd call a prayer meeting at our house for our core leaders, and we wouldn't be like, oh Lord, Lord of the ring, Lord of the heavens and the earth, Lord of the rings. We weren't praying these fancy prayers. Oh, thou who hast called us from the ends of the earth. No, we were praying, Lord, send us $7,538 by tomorrow morning. Like exactly what we needed, that's what we were praying for. Lord, breakthrough. We need $10,347 by tomorrow morning. God, send it. And I would call Pastor Daniels and I said, we're in trouble. He'd say, no, that's a lie. I said, no, you don't understand. We need $10,000 by tomorrow morning or else we can't pay the rent on the building. He said, no, son, that's a lie. I'm like, no, it's the truth. My bookkeeper just called me. He said, no, no, son, the money is there. There's no way the Lord brought you here to leave you in the lurch. The money is there. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord, the money is there. And we would pray, and every single time we would discover the money was there. One time we needed $7,500. We had a prayer meeting the night before. The next morning at 10 a.m., I got a call from the most annoying member of my congregation. When I saw her name, I was sitting there praying for $7,500. Lord, send it, God, send it now. Bring, 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 bring. I look, ignore, ain't nobody got time for that. Lord, send it, Lord, send it. I ain't got time for no foolishness this morning. She called back again. I'm like, listen, I ain't got time for this. Decline. Oh, God. And I went back to pray. She called back a third time. I answered, woman, what do you want? She said, Pastor, I got to talk to you right now. I said, well, it's going to have to wait. She said, no, it's important. I said, well, whatever it is can wait. She said, no, it can't wait. I said, what is it? She said, I've got a check for $7,500 for the church in my hand right now. I said, I'm on the way. What's your address? Where you at right now? Have I ever told you that you're my favorite member? When I went to meet her, I asked her, I said, where did you get seventh? She was not only my most annoying member, she was the brokest. No, she was broke. She didn't have two nickels to rub together. I said, where did you get $7,500? She said, Pastor, remember that settlement I asked you to pray for 3 years ago? It was held up in litigation. I said, yeah. She said, well, it funded this morning. And I got $75,000. So this is my tithe. Come on, somebody. See, it's so easy for us to rejoice in the resolution. But when we're walking through the conflict, it's not so easy, is it? How do you make it through the conflict? That's the question, because we had to walk through that again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And we're even walking in it again right now on a completely different level. Because I've already prophetically promised our congregation we're buying a new building. And now I'm praying, oh God, now you got to send that money. Right? We've got $1.4 million in pledges that we're to receive on December 21st. You know? And so we got to receive that. That's got to come. But now the devil is fighting the finances of the people who made the pledges. So now we're praying, oh God, you got to break through. And, you know, half of my heart is like, Lord, don't let me look like an idiot. God, I made this prophetic promise to the people, you know, like Moses. Lord, I'm speaking with stammering lips. The people won't even listen to me anymore. How do you walk through that period between promise and fulfillment? We can rejoice in the fulfillment, but how do you walk in that period? For Joseph, he received the promise at 17 and the fulfillment at 30. There was this 13-year period, this interim period between promise and fulfillment. What did he have during that 13 years? He had the original word that the Lord spoke to him. That's what will get you through that interim period, is the word of the Lord. And by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The firmament were the work of his hands, the breath of his mouth. You see, it is the word of the Lord, clinging to the word of the Lord. And this is why you must learn to meditate on Scripture day and night. You must learn to meditate on Scripture. Listen, this is how I see meditation on Scripture. When I meditate on Scripture, I'm filling up my toolbox. I might not need it right now, but I'm filling up my toolbox so that when I do need it, the Holy Spirit has all kinds of material to work with. The Holy Spirit can go, look, listen, the Holy Spirit can only highlight the scriptures that you have committed in your heart. Sometimes you need a word, and the Holy Spirit is looking through the foolishness in your mind going, I need something to highlight. What can I highlight? What can I anoint? I got to give him some encouragement, but there's all this filth and foolishness, all this junk up in here. He's like cleaning, going through your mind, throwing stuff out. I know there's some kind of word in here somewhere. Man, this brother ain't got two scriptures to rub together. Got to anoint something. When people get revelation out of Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. That's the revelation you got? That's because that's all you know, the Holy Spirit. Fine, I'll anoint John 3:16. You know what I mean? It's like Jesus wept. When you get a revelation out of Jesus wept, you need to upgrade. You know what I mean? You need to go meditate on some scripture and give the Holy Spirit some more fodder. Some of you want to function in the prophetic. You know what the key to the prophetic word is? It's the written word. You got to meditate on his words day and night. You're giving the Holy Spirit more to work with, because the Holy Spirit takes it and breathes life to it. And all of a sudden that word, it just comes to life in your heart and mind. And when that word comes to life in your heart and mind, all of a sudden it begins to shine like a light in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star appears in your heart. Now, this is what I was trying to get to. When you understand the function of the prophetic word, the function of the prophetic word is to reveal the destiny of peoples, of places, of organizations, of lands. If you're going to carry the prophetic word in your company, you must understand the destiny of that company. That there's a prophetic destiny. You understand that God is leading history inexorably to its end. God has determined the end. There's no chance that history will not turn out like God has planned it to turn out. Do you agree with me? Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. You flip all the way to the back of the book, you see God wins. It will be as he said. And he works even through all of the rebellion that's happening. There's all kinds of rebellion happening in the world. But God's not afraid of rebellion. He even knows how to shift rebellion to cause people to rebel in the direction of his purpose. He knows how to use rebellion to bring his purpose to pass. God is not afraid. He even knows how to use demonic opposition as a means of bringing his purpose to pass. Right? That's how powerful God is. And so that means that the destiny of every organization, every individual, every group is simply what part it plays in God's end time project. What is the part that it plays in what God is doing in the earth in these last days? When you begin to understand the destiny, listen, the most powerful thing you can do is, if you're working for a company, is understand the destiny of that company. And you begin to understand the destiny of that company when you get a sense of how God is going to use it for his glory. In any way, shape, or form that you begin to discern, God's going to use this company for his glory in this way. Now you've gotten a sense of that company's destiny. You don't have to have the whole thing. You've just got to see. My wife and I began ministering in Indonesia in 2002. I went to Indonesia the first time in 2002, and I went on a 10-day fast, and I sought the face of God before going. I was speaking at a pastor's conference there, and I got this prophetic word the Lord downloaded, and I wrote it down before going. And when I got there, I stood on the platform, I ministered to the pastors, and then I shared this prophetic word. And then halfway through it, the translator broke, and he couldn't translate it anymore. The Holy Spirit just took him out. And the word was about the destiny of Indonesia, of what God was causing the church of Indonesia to rise up and become in the earth. And the word was, you think your light is but a flicker that does not even reach the far reaches of your country. But God said, it's a small thing for me to empower you to reach your country. But I will cause you to even become a light to the nations, and you'll be for my salvation to the ends of the earth. And it was about how God was making Indonesia a training center, a missions training center. He was going to send out missionaries into the Muslim world, and that they were going to go into the Muslim world, and that they were going to reap a great harvest for the kingdom of God. And when I began to speak of the destiny of the nation of Indonesia, you should have seen the bride of Christ in Indonesia begin to rise to a new place. A new confidence came. I'm talking about these people were beaten down and they were broken in their confidence because they didn't think that they had any place of significance in God's plan. That they were just, you know, these were just like bushwhackers. I mean, they were just out there in the bush and they were just like jungle believers. But when they got a sense of their destiny, all of a sudden that confidence began to rise in them and the power of the Holy Spirit began to fall in that place. When you get a sense of the destiny of your company, you begin to shine when you begin to see. Listen, what will cause you to shine wherever you are is seeing and understanding the prophetic destiny of the place that you're standing in. If you can't see the prophetic destiny of that place, you can't shine in it. You might shine by being promoted, but that's just you shining for you. But when you, listen, when you get a sense of the destiny of your company, then you begin to speak words even to your boss. When your boss is discouraged, don't worry. Let me tell you what's going to happen here. Don't worry. Let me tell you how God is going to use this. And you don't even have to say God. No. We're going to do this. This is going to be fulfilled. Now, this starts in the house of God. It starts in the house of God. A church that does not have a sense of its own prophetic destiny will always walk with a sense of inferiority as a church, especially when you're smaller than other churches and don't have the facilities that other churches have and don't feel like you're as organized as other churches are, and you feel like other churches have more than you, and you wonder how are we ever going to get off the ground, and so on and so forth. And unless you are focused on the prophetic destiny of that church, you get overwhelmed with the issues and the problems. Because let me tell you something, every church has problems. Every church has challenges, but what will enable you to overcome those challenges is being connected in your heart to the prophetic destiny of your church. And let me tell you something, New Philadelphia Church has a prophetic destiny that is vibrant, that is powerful, and that is alive. And let me tell you something about Pastor Christian Lee. Pastor Christian Lee is a premier leader in the body of Christ that the body of Christ has virtually not discovered yet. He has vision that is beyond his years. He's got wisdom that is beyond his years. And he has an ability to lead his people. I mean, think about it. How old is New Philly as a church? How many years? 5.5 years. How many campuses? Have you ever heard of a church starting 5 campuses in 5 years? Have you ever heard of that? With almost no resources and no budget. There's no heavy hitters in the congregation who will drop $1 million for this and $100,000 for this. I'm talking about with mostly an army of transients, right, who came in to teach English for a year, right? You know, you got this group of expats, and he builds this mighty army and has 5 campuses. Why? This is the beginning of your prophetic destiny unfolding. And when you understand that the prophetic word over New Philly is arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, that you're going to rise up and become great, that you're going to possess the gates of your enemies, that you're going to grow, that every campus is a seed, and that you're destined to become great, you're destined to be known, and you're destined to become a model in the earth for what a church is supposed to look like. When you understand that you're building something that the world has not seen yet. Now, everybody who comes and visits New Philly, they always walk away and say, I haven't seen anything like this before. This is crazy. Everybody says it. This is nuts. How did you do this? This is crazy. That's who you are. That's who you are, and that's who God has called you to be. And you're going to expand, and you're going to grow, and you're going to develop, and you're going to overcome every obstacle. But you got to cling to that and understand your prophetic destiny as a people is your understanding of your prophetic destiny as a people is able to strengthen you in times of weakness. It's able. Listen, when understanding that, can you imagine Joseph for those 13 years? Having to be a slave, it's okay, I can be a slave today. I've got a prophetic destiny. Tomorrow, I'm going to rule. It is my prophetic destiny that activates me in the lower place because I know that I'm not destined for the lower place. When I understand my prophetic destiny, I begin to understand that trial and difficulty are a part of the journey, but they are not the destination. If you don't understand your prophetic destiny, you begin to believe that your trials are eternal. You begin to believe that your hardship is indefinite. Let me tell you something. Your trials are temporary. Your destiny is eternal. I'm telling you that the day is coming when God says the trial has gone far enough. God has marked it. He's drawn a line in the sand and says it will encroach here and no further. And when he brings it to an end, he's going to raise you up. He said in Psalm 91:14, I will set you on high because you have known my name. He said he will set you on high, and that means he's going to set you out of the reach of the enemy. He's going to set you beyond the place where the trials that you are now walking in the midst of can touch you and harm you in any way. Your greatest confidence, your greatest strength will not come when one believer speaks a word of encouragement to you. Let me tell you something. You can become like an empty pit that receives encouragement after encouragement after encouragement, but yet can't hang on to it for more than 5 minutes at a time. If you don't get a hold of your prophetic destiny and make a decision that you're going to cling to that prophetic destiny in your heart, no matter what, you're going to hold on to it. You're not going to let it go. You're going to hold it before your eyes. It shines like a light in the dark until the day dawns. and the morning star appears in your heart. That's the power of the prophetic word. Don't let her stick her fingers in the power outlet, please. Okay, sorry. I just got a vision of a little baby getting electrocuted. Not fun. Whew. Okay, you got it? Your prophetic destiny. I feel like I haven't gotten it all out, but yet I don't know what else to say. Yeah, the unsaid. And this is where you got to practice Proverbs chapter 2. All of you, I want you to meditate on Proverbs chapter 2 and get it in your spirit. Some of you have been asking me questions about spiritual fatherhood and sonship. If you want to understand sonship, you got to read the Proverbs. And the first thing you got to understand about the Proverbs is that when the proverbist says, my son, it's not God talking, it's Solomon talking. He said, my son, if you receive my words and hide my commands within you. Your spiritual father is the one whose words you receive and whose commands you hide within you. Inclining your ear to wisdom, you got to listen at a higher level. Otherwise, wisdom is going to go right over your head. Applying your heart to understanding, you got to shift your heart around the words that are spoken. And then if you cry out after knowledge, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek them as silver, if you search for them as for hidden treasures, that means you go home and you get in your prayer closet and you cry out to God for understanding. So often, Pastor Daniels will just pour out a word to me over 2 hours. I'll record it. And I won't have full understanding of what he's saying until I go home and pray through it. And now when I pray through it, I cry out after knowledge. I lift up my voice for understanding. I seek them as silver. I search for them as for hidden treasures. Then I begin to understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And it says, the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes understanding. And it goes on to say, wisdom will enter into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. The experience of wisdom coming into your heart. You receive the words of your spiritual leaders. And then you go home and you pray until wisdom enters into your heart, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Another place in the Proverbs it says, honey from the honeycomb is sweet to the taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. And if you find it, you'll find a future and a hope. And so I just want you to know you have a prophetic destiny, but I want you to begin to pray into it. And I want you to begin to pray and ask the Lord to show you what is the prophetic destiny of this house. And I want you to understand that having a spiritual lineage doesn't mean that you're to be spoon-fed revelation. It means that you participate. It always flows in both directions. Always. You have to take the words and go home and cry out after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Seek them as silver and ask the Lord. And listen, the prophetic word doesn't just come from one person to another. It can come directly from the Lord too. If you need clarity about your prophetic destiny, about the prophetic destiny of your place of work, about the prophetic destiny of this house, you go pray and ask the Lord to show it to you. Ask the Lord to clarify it in your mind that wherever you are, you begin to live according to the prophetic promise, and now you begin to shine like lights in the universe as you hold out the word of life. And listen, it's time to obey those commands. Now that we're bringing this retreat to a close, it's time to rise. It's time to shine. Why? Because your light has come. It's not coming, it has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness is covering the earth. And I want to say this. Darkness is covering the earth, not the church. Deep darkness is covering the people. But God makes a distinction. And even in Egypt, it was dark on all of Egypt. Where the people of Israel lived in Goshen, there was no darkness. God made a distinction between his people and the Egyptians. And God will once more make a distinction between his people and the people of the world. His light dawns on us as darkness is covering the world. You got to get it in your heart and mind that you are not people of darkness, you're people of the light. And that means that you cannot tolerate confusion in your heart. Satan is the author of confusion. And at every place where you feel I am confused, you're submitting to a demonic lie. You simply make a decision. I'm not living at that lower place anymore. I'm going to arise and shine. My light has come. And there are times when I feel confused, when I feel like I don't know, and I just have to go into my prayer closet and say, Lord, no, Lord, the knowledge is in me. I will arise and shine because my light has come. I refuse to believe I don't know. I refuse to believe that I'm in ignorance. I'm not in ignorance. All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ, and Christ is hidden in me. That means all wisdom and knowledge is in me. Everything that you need for life and godliness, it's in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is in you. But it comes through encouragement. Paul said in one place, my purpose is that they might be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they might possess the full riches of complete understanding. When you're united in love and encouraged in heart, then you begin to partake of the full riches of complete understanding. But when you are divided and discouraged, you have no access to understanding. Confusion comes from division and discouragement. But when you are united in love and encouraged in heart, you begin to partake of the full riches of complete understanding. And those are yours in Christ. Let's pray.